of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. This meeting is being recorded. This meeting is being held hybrid, meeting in person and via Zoom as well. And we are at the Crown Valley Community Center in Laguna Niguel, California. So if I could please ask Tony Rodella to provide the inspiration, and then Crystal Miles will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning. It's really, really great to see everybody. It's, you guys are real people. Anyway, I found this on the internet. Messing around, and I saw this when somebody sent it to me. It's called The Teaching of the Donkey. One day a farmer donkey fell into a well. The animal cried loudly for hours. While the farmer tried to find something to get him out, finally the farmer decided the donkey was old and the well was already dry and needed to be covered anyway. It really wasn't worth pulling the donkey out of the well. So he invited all his neighbors to come and help him. They each grabbed a shovel and began throwing dirt into the well. The donkey realized what was happening and cried horribly loud. Then, to everybody's surprise, he quieted down after a few shovelfuls of dirt. The farmer finally looked down into the well and was amazed at what he saw. With a shovelful of dirt, the donkey was doing something very incredible. He was shaking off the dirt and stepping on top of the dirt. Very soon, everybody saw how the donkey reached the mouth of the well, went over the edge, and trotted out. Life is going to throw dirt at you, all kinds of dirt. The trick of getting out of the hole is to shake it off and use it to step up. Each of our problems is a step up. We can get out of the deepest holes if we don't give up. Use the land they throw at you to get ahead. Remember the five rules of happy. Free your heart from hate. Free your mind from distractions. Simplify your life. Give more, expect less. Love more, and shake the dirt, because in this life you have to be a solution, not the problem.
Thank you, Tony. And now the Honorable Crystal Miles will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please stand if you're able. Place your right hand over your heart. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Crystal. And now if we can ask our Secretary, Elizabeth Busick, to please take roll.
Charlene Ashendorf, we know, is absent. Oh, it's off.
So Charlene is absent. Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Amelia Castro. Amelia Castro. Okay. Meredith Cimini is absent. Carol Downey.
Here.
Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Carolyn Inman.
She's in New York.
Absent.
Absent. Okay. Go ahead. Jim Levy.
Present.
Oh, present. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Jim. Mm.
Yes.
Krista Miles. Carol Moore.
Present.
Patty Mouton.
Present.
Joni Nichols.
Here.
John Pointer.
Present.
Tony Rodella, Amina St. Matthews, Barbara Sloat,
present.
Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Present.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. Edlyn Velez.
Present.
Mary Perdue.
Present.
Paolo Morales.
Present.
Rachel Owen.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
We have the two new staff members that were added, Laval Brewer and Jerry King.
Present.
Okay, thank you. So we do have a quorum, and I would like to welcome to our meeting Supervisor Lisa Bartlett. She's the Orange County Supervisor for the 5th District, and I've asked Supervisor Bartlett to speak to us this morning, not only because we're in her district, but also because she has been so supportive of senior issues and the work that SCAC does. So she recognized the importance of the services and resources that are provided to seniors, which is the largest growing population here in Orange County. So we greatly appreciate all your work in that area, and thank you for being here today. And I know you have a few words for us.
Yes.
Okay. So good morning, everyone. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here. And you know, as Elaine said, the seniors have always been really special to me. And when I first got elected to office in 2014, took a look at all the boards and commissions, and our Senior Citizens Advisory Council really wasn't as engaged as I really wanted them to be. And so we recruited some new members, and Elaine was one of them. And I said, you know, we want to supercharge this commission because there's so much that we need to do with regard to our seniors in the county. I mean, we have an aging demographic, and we really have to look at a lot of things. And to see how SCAC has evolved over the last 8 years has really been amazing. So you owe yourselves a round of applause because you have done so much, and I've been so proud of you, and talk about all of you to my colleagues on the board, and hopefully the momentum will keep going into the future as well. So it's great to be here today. As I approach the end of my term on the Board of Supervisors, I wanted to take the opportunity to thank each and every one of you for your service on the Senior Citizens Advisory Council. As many of you know, I've represented the 5th District on the Board of Supervisors for the past 8 years, and due to term limits, my term will end this December. So 8 years seems like a long time, but it goes by very, very quickly. Supporting our older adult community and our veterans has always been a top priority of mine. Over the years, your wisdom, dedication, advice, and commitment have been extremely helpful and identifying and prioritizing the needs and important issues to our seniors. And also, with regard to kind of terming out this year, we're going to lose our fearless leader here, Elaine Genoway. And from the County of Orange, Elaine, I want to present you with this bouquet of flowers. So come on up.
Working with all of you and knowing that the work that we do serves the seniors in the county. So thank you so much.
Welcome. Did you do that hug one more time?
Yeah. No.
She wants another hug.
Oh, sure.
All right.
All right.
We're doing together.
There we go.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. So when COVID hit and we went into lockdown, our office relied on the information from the Office on Aging and this committee to assess the impact of lockdown on our seniors. I mean, through the pandemic, and this is something we've never, this is the first pandemic I've faced in my lifetime, and according to our health officer, we're probably going to have more in the future. So it was a great learning ground for all of us. But one of my top priorities was to protect the health and safety of our most vulnerable community by ensuring our seniors had priority access to testing and vaccinations, food, safe shelter, and some form of virtual social engagement. To ensure there would be no gaps in meal service, my office allocated $4 million in funding to deliver nutritious and healthy meals to seniors, veterans, and the disabled through our Nutrition Gap program. As a result of a recommendation from this committee, my office provided $2.5 million in funding for the implementation of the Bridging the Digital Divide for Older Adults program. Do you remember when you approved that? And that was one of your action items for the county to move forward on. And that has helped so many seniors, especially during the COVID pandemic, be able to stay engaged, telehealth appointments, and stay engaged with people they know. The program enabled qualified seniors to access iPads with prepaid data plans and training so they could order groceries online, communicate with their health providers, family and friends, and maintain that social connection. This program was supposed to end on September the 30th, but I understand that thanks to a grant award, the program may be continued for another year. I know that senior transportation is another top priority for SCAM, and I'm pleased to say that over the years, we have made great strides in improving transportation for seniors and disabled individuals. The OCGO Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Program provides transportation to older adults who need low-cost transportation to and from various medical appointments. OCTA's Senior Mobility Program fills the gap between local fixed-route buses and ADA paratransit or access service by providing local transportation services to seniors in participating cities in Orange County. As for seniors and people with disabilities, the OCGO Funded Fare Stabilization Program provides for fare discounts to stabilize and help with ridership costs. Seniors 60 and older and persons with qualifying disabilities can take advantage of OC bus reduced bus fares. Several cities within my district also implemented free trolley service during the summer months. And when it comes to healthcare, I want to ask SCAP that if they haven't already done so, to spread the word about who may be eligible for Cal Optima and the many programs it has to offer. So Cal Optima is our county organized health system, and it's for low income individuals. You know, people think of Orange County as a very wealthy county. We have 3.2 million people, and we have almost a million members in Cal Optima right now. So when you think about it, one-third of our residents are a member of Cal Optima. And a lot of folks don't even realize they qualify for it, whether they're old or they're young. So it's something that I think SCAP can really get information out there, because then people would be eligible for a lot of the different types of healthcare services, the PACE program, the program for all-inclusive care for the elderly, adult daycare, meals programs, and so on. So it's really a very rich program. And I know a number of seniors out there probably qualify for it and they just don't even know it. So having SCAC reach out into the community would be really very much appreciated. So with regard to the PACE program, I don't know if all of you are familiar with that, but that includes the adult daycare. It includes transportation to and from our PACE Center, which is in Garden Grove. And you can find more information about that through the brochures. I think Pauline and my staff have some information about Cal Optima that you can read up on. You can also go to caloptima.org to get information. So at the board level, SCAC was instrumental in helping shape our legislative platform when it came to seniors. The county's 21-22 county legislative platform included a commitment by the board to support efforts to increase resources and services available to adults who are unable to live independently, or victims or at risk of abuse or neglect, and the individuals who provide them care. They also committed to support the measures to enable seniors and disabled adults to obtain affordable housing, including funding and approval of senior housing projects, and continue to maintain seniors as a priority group in our housing voucher program. That's an area where you can really be helpful to our seniors, because a number of our seniors, you know, obviously are on fixed incomes. And as costs continue to rise, we've got inflation now, you know, almost at 9%, gas prices are up. So the cost of living has gone up dramatically, and we need more affordable senior housing built out throughout the county. We've got a project in San Juan Capistrano that's opening up. San Clemente just approved a senior housing project where the old Memorial Care Hospital site is. So we've got a number of things that are going on here in South County, but when it comes to senior housing and affordable housing, we always need more. And that's where SCAC can have a really strong voice through the legislative process in Sacramento, and then also through the county to ensure that we continue to work with the developers in the county to really push more build out of senior affordable housing. So in closing, I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your dedication, commitment, and service to our seniors. You've done just a tremendous job over the years, and I've just so greatly appreciated over the last 8 years, looking at all of the things you've had as your priorities year after year and the things we've been able to work on at the county, because I take those priorities and I distill them down to some things that we can work on year after year, bring them to the Board of Supervisors, we get approval, we get funding, we get initiatives going, and it's all because of all the great work that you have done. So again, thank you so much for everything you've done and what you'll continue to do in the future. I think there's great momentum now in SCAC at the county level, and you've got a big voice with the Board of Supervisors, but continue to stay engaged, continue to put your list of priorities together, make sure it gets to the Board of Supervisors, even though I won't be there next year. It's important for you to do that outreach to the board members, because the supervisors are the ones that cast their vote and they supply the funding. They connect the dots to get things done, whether it's legislation or initiatives that you might have that are on your priority list. So again, happy holidays to everyone. And it's been an honor and a pleasure to serve the county and to work with all of you. And even after I roll off the board, if you have questions, people have my cell number, give me a call. Because if you've got questions about getting connected to some sort of service or something at the county level, I still have a lot of friends and contacts there and happy to help out any way that I can. I'm going to be here in South County for probably the rest of my life. I've lived in the Dana Point area for over 30 years, and I just think that South County is a real gem. But all of our 34 cities in the county are very special. We have a great county, and I've always advocated that Orange County is a county that cares. And I know that SCAC cares, and I greatly appreciate all that you do. So thank you so much. It's been an honor and a privilege to serve you and serve with you. And happy holidays as well.
Well, thank you, Supervisor Bartlett, and also thank you for your work with SCAC and for taking seriously the work that we do and taking those priorities and putting them into action. We notice that, we appreciate that, and the seniors throughout Orange County greatly benefit from it, so thank you. We know you have a very busy schedule. I see Pauline has her purse ready, but if you are welcome to stay, but we also understand that you do have a demanding schedule.
So I can take a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
If anyone has questions.
Are there any questions for Supervisor Bartlett? If there are, we can pass the microphone, or this means you've been extremely thorough in your presentation. So thank you so much.
Denise, here. Sure. Here, I'll go back up to the podium.
With your career being as long as it has been, what do you see as the best moments that you've had here in the county? And are you have a significant other or husband that's had to carry the load with you or no?
Well, it's stressful for the whole family because we're literally, as supervisors, we're on call 24/7. But my family has been very, very supportive through this process, and they've been very understanding about, you know, my priorities and my needs for the county. So it's been, you have to have that life-work balance, and sometimes it is a bit of a challenge. But some of the things I'm most proud of, as far as not so much projects, but the fact that as one of five elected officials running the third largest county in the state, you know, sixth largest county in the nation with a very large budget, a lot of our funds are pre-programmed into categorical buckets. But with our discretionary funds, we've been able to look at the priorities for the county, and I think some of the things that makes me really smile are the fact that we're able to put things in place, pushing initiatives and projects forward that help directly help the people of the county, whether it's our BYOC campus for mental health or Dana Point Harbor project that is now underway. These are things that are going to take us well into the future. Here we've got the City Center project in Laguna Niguel. We have a lot of great things and initiatives and programs that we've got in place in the county that are going to benefit the residents for many, many years to come. One program I forgot to mention was the OC Flex program. So besides the board of supervisors, I sit on about 12 other boards and commissions, and one of them is the Orange County Transportation Authority. One thing we implemented on a trial basis was an OC Flex program. So if there's small buses, and they're on-demand service, they pick up at your house and they drop you where you need to go, so within the service area. So we had a project in a South County for Aliso Viejo, Laguna Niguel, and Mission Viejo. So successful. And before I leave office, I want to make sure we start to expand that program so that more South County cities can get connected, because the larger the zone, the more ability you have to get transported, picked up at your door in one of these small buses, and dropped off and somewhere else. So you can go from Laguna Niguel to the shops at Mission Viejo. But it's just think if you could go to the alleys in San Clemente, or you could get to the airport or go to other areas. So we've got, you know, great things like that that we can expand on. So before I leave office, I'm just trying to push out as many things as I can for connecting those dots for the public at large that benefits all of our residents. But it's been a whirlwind, and we've got a lot of things to finish up before the end of the year. So we're literally working 24/7. I have a lot of commitments that I'm trying to make and things that I want to accomplish before year end. So I'm going to, if we have any more questions, I'll take questions. If not, you know, I'm going to run to my next meeting, but happy to take more questions. Okay. Again, thank you for all you do. Keep up the great work, and I'll be watching from afar what you're doing next year. Okay. Take care.
Well, Ken, thank you so much for all that you've done and for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Okay, now we have some introductions, and before she goes, as she's walking towards the door, I'd like to introduce Pauline Colvin. Many of you know her. She works with Supervisor Bartlett and is a connection that we use quite a bit in communicating with Supervisor Bartlett's office. She's also a resident of Laguna Niguel. Yes. So, okay. Well, thank you both for being here. So, and a couple of housekeeping items before we go further in the meeting. The restrooms are right outside the door to the left. And if you'd like to refresh your coffee or get a morning refreshment, please feel free to get up during the meeting. So we have some introductions to make. I know for many of you, this is the first time you've met in person. And we've had those introductions on Zoom for our newer members, but our three newest members, I don't know that they've had the opportunity to be introduced to the group as a whole. So I'd like to introduce them now. So we have on Zoom, we have Laval Brewer. Laval is the Executive Director of South County Outreach. He was a previous member of SCAC and had to step off for a while due to a conflict with work meetings. But we're so glad to have him back because he does provide that connection and that information regarding food insecurity for many of our seniors. And then hailing from the city of Irvine, we have Rachel Owens and we have Jerry Chang. So they have both been very active in their city's senior issues and on their city senior committee. So we're glad to have them as part of SCAC. So welcome to SCAC. And then from the Office on Aging, you may or may not have met, I know many of you have met Jenna Sergio in the past, but we also have with us today Renee Ramirez, so thank you, Renee, for being here, and Desiree Gonzalez. And Desiree is the one who sends out the emails and the Zoom links and all of that stuff, so thank you for being here. And then we have some guests with us today, so I'd like to introduce my council colleague on the Laguna Niguel Senior Citizens Committee, Council Member Kelly James. and with her a special guest from Texas, the mother of former Mayor John Mark Jennings, Carol Jennings. And then members of the City of Laguna Niguel Senior Committee, Gregory Reed, Ann Woodry, and Susan Namazi. And we have a former SCAC member, Tony Rodella. Excuse me, Alavado. Yeah, this is the Ura, Tony. This is Tony Alavado. So, Tony Alavado, thanks for being here. And Tony is, even though he is no longer a SCAC member, he is still a member of one of our standing committees. Thank you. And then just because they're in the room with us and really did a lot to help get this meeting organized, from the City of Laguna Niguel, we have Zach and Hunter, and they're making sure our technology keeps working. So thank you. Okay, so now we have some presentations, and Elizabeth Music is going to introduce the speakers.
First of all, what's going on?
First of all, right up there, Lori Nichols, Jody Nichols is going to introduce Jack Light. They're both there on the screen. Okay. Joni, we can't hear you. Hey, you're muted. Joni, can you hear? You're muted. Joni, can you hear? You're muted.
You're okay, muted, Joni. Again.
What a newbie mistake. Sorry. As I read Jack's biography, I was thinking of that adage, if you want something done, ask a busy person. So I'm grateful for his presence here today. Jack Light is the executive director of the Family Caregiver Resource Center and the St. Jude Brain Injury Network, both at St. Jude Medical Center in Fullerton. He's a licensed clinical social worker, and his career as a clinician and an administrator started in Orange County in 1989. For the past 10 years, Jack has been working exclusively with family caregivers. And although it's not in my notes here, I think we all know the attendant stress, anxiety, and depression he must be very familiar with. Jack is also a part-time lecturer at the graduate level at Cal State Fullerton, their Department of Social Work. He's also a fieldwork instructor for graduate students at Cal State Long Beach and their School of Social Work. He currently supervises candidates for clinical social work licensure granted by the California Board of Behavioral Sciences. He maintains a private clinical counseling practice, and he works with couples and families. Jack is a graduate of the University of California, Berkeley, where he received his undergraduate and graduate degrees. Welcome to SAB, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joni, for the introduction. The years have caught up with me. I've actually been at St. Jude for 15 years. When I heard that, time passes. Today, I'm happy that you invited me to talk a little bit about family caregivers, what we do at the Caregiver Resource Center. And specifically, I'm going to point towards the contributions that Orange County has made towards the National Family Caregiver Strategy and also the Master Plan for Aging. So going forward, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and go through my presentation. It'll be quick. I know that Patty Mouton is coming up after me, so I'm going to make sure not to take up too much of her time. But here, just let me know if you have any problems seeing my screen. And then we'll move on from there. There are only four kinds of people in the world today. Those are that have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, and those who will be caregivers, and again, those who will need a caregiver. And that's from Rosalind Carter. And that's, you know, she's been an advocate for caregivers for many years now. Now in Orange County, I just wanted to introduce you to our program, the Caregiver Resource Center. We're a trusted partner here in Orange County. And I think what's important is partnership. We help families cope with the physical, emotional, and financial responsibilities of caregiving. But as a partner, we walk side by side with each individual caregiver we work with. And we also partner with a lot of the community-based organizations out there serving seniors and caregivers. Our mission statement is to increase the quality of life for caregivers by helping families and communities master the challenges of caregiving. And again, it's we're oriented towards the whole family. We're oriented towards the community. Because, you know, as we've heard before, it takes a village. Well, it takes a full community to serve any, to serve this population also. It's no different. So what is our history here in Orange County, and why should we be hopeful? Well, we've been a program of St. Jude Medical Center serving all of Orange County since 1988. Furthermore, the state of California has had caregiver support programs since 1984. It's a statewide system, and we are one of the 11 sites that serve all of California. We just happen to be fortunate enough to be here in Orange County, and our sole catchment area is Orange County. An interesting thing that happened this past year, after being in the Department of Mental Health since 1984, and then the Department of Healthcare Services after that, in 2022, coinciding with everything that's been happening with the California Master Plan for Aging, we've now an official program under the California Department of Aging, where we receive state funding. We've also been fortunate enough to be the sole provider of the Federal Older Americans Act Title III Family Caregiver Support Program since 2003, the inception of the program. So California would really led the way back in the 80s. It was we became a statutory program back in the 80s due to advocacy from the community. The nation looked at California, looked at our programs, at the statewide program back in the 90s when they were developing the National Family Caregiver Support Program strategy. And then they came out with grant funding through the Federal Older Americans Act. And thanks to Supervisor Bartlett and her colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, we have been successfully implementing that program since 2003. So we get state and federal funding. And with that, there's some eligibility criteria. Just the takeaway is anybody as an adult, we serve all adults that are serving, that are caring for a loved one that is cognitively impaired or is frail, simply put. And because I have this slide here for you, it's a little bit technical, but in essence, we serve all caregivers. And we abide by the no wrong door policy. Anybody can come to us and ask us about senior services. And we have staff that are well schooled that can redirect people in the right way, do the warm handoff. We just want people to make that call. So we serve all of Orange County. Our services are free, but we do ask for contributions and we do ask for donations when necessary. But through the benevolence of Providence St. Jude Medical Center, we have a very, very strong host agency that helps us through, especially through the pandemic, especially through the recession back in 2008. So we're well supported. So what services do we provide? We provide support groups, caregiver assessment and care planning, education and training, legal workshops, counseling, specialized information, and respite assistance. We actually have funding to purchase goods and services, and we were well over $500,000 in providing purchasing goods and purchasing services for our clients directly, within one fiscal year. And we serve up, we do intensive case management for about 1,500 persons at any one time. But we also work very closely with community-based agencies to provide and coordinate our care, because we can't do it all. Sometimes we're the best kept secret in Orange County, but believe me, the 1,500 or so people that receive the intensive case management we provide, we feel are truly benefiting. Okay, so there is this thing called the National Strategy on Family Caregiving, or the National Family Caregiver Strategy. And it's something happening on a national level, something that's happening on the state level, and we're going to be contributing information at the local level. And they have these five frameworks for systemic support in their report. Achieving greater awareness and outreach to family caregivers, advancing partnerships and engaging family caregivers, strengthening services, improving financial and workplace security for family caregivers, and more data and research and evidence-based practices to support family caregivers. Okay, so they want all these things. Guess what? We are on task and on target at the state and local level, especially at the local level and at the state level. At the local level, and I know Patty may touch on this later, we have the Orange County Adult Services Collaborative and the Orange County Senior Plan for Action, and we have our local we have the Office on Aging working on the Master Plan for Aging. So we are on task and on target. We've already got our game plan in at the local level set. At the state level, again, we have the Master Plan on Aging. We are now part of our statewide system, which no other state has. No other state in the union has a statewide system for serving family caregivers. And even say that if you're aware, Orange County is larger in terms of population than 27 other states in the union. So we're really moving ahead. So the first two goals, achieving greater awareness and outreach to family caregivers. Well, at the state and local level, we have the infrastructure to do that. As I said, we are part of a statewide system. We have a statewide website for family caregivers where they can get resources. We have a local program here where we do outreach and work very closely with everyone. And we are advancing these partnerships and engagement with family caregivers through your efforts. So those first two goals in that national plan, I would suggest that we are on task and on target, but we have a lot of work to do. Goals 3 and 4, strengthening services and supports for family caregivers, improving financial workplace security for family caregivers. Again, on task and on target. We are at the services and supports, again, through the grant we get from the federal program, from the state, and the generosity of St. Jude, we are able to continue our program with these efforts. Now, obviously, there's always going to be an issue of resources, but we try to be as efficient as possible with what monies we are provided, and we try to help as much with what's going on in the community and on a statewide level. And part of that is the integration of the California statewide system of caregiver resource centers with the California Department of Aging. Again, there's a nice mix of bringing the state money, which is funded by the state general fund for the caregiver resource centers, and the federal National Family Caregiver Support Program. So we're very now that integration is creating some efficiencies. And also in terms of improving financial workplace security, we are very supportive and aware of a couple of things that I'll talk about later relating to that, that our caregiving population is getting younger. It's a group of people now that are working, that are engaged in the workplace and still trying to care for their loved ones, that are purchasing things that aren't covered by Medicare. Even the best of supplemental plans don't cover the things that they need to provide the care for their loved ones. So they're having to purchase services. They're having to purchase goods and materials out of their pocket, and they're having to take time and effort away from work. So we are supportive and aware of those issues. More data, research, and evidence-based practices to support family caregivers. Again, on task and on target. In 2019, the state of California reinvested in the California Caregiver Resource Systems. We are the only state that has a statewide system that does standardized assessment, care planning, and interventions that are tracked and trended and collected for research and analysis. This is not just 15-minute phone calls, surveys of people over the phone. This is actual evidence-based practice. And we just released, what I've shown on the slide here is the title of our annual report from the statewide system, which also has local Orange County data that we contribute to. It says, picking up the pace of change, scaling services for a changing caregiver profile. We just finished our second report, and that's going to be available on our website. And I'd be happy to distribute that to all of you too, whoever would like that. But this is done out of the UC Davis School of Nursing at their Family Caregiving Institute. And they've got now about 6 years worth of caregiver data that is specific to California caregivers. So we are on task and on target here at the county. We are on task and on target on the statewide level. And we are on task and on target with the national strategies, the family caregiving strategies. Now, furthermore, if you want to get involved, we also have a California Coalition on Family Caregiving. And really quickly, it's there on the slide to share with you, but there is a coalition of caregiver leaderships through nonprofit organizations and individuals. And this is all out of the work that started in 2016 and with the California Task Force on Family Caregiving. So again, on task and on target, we are working hard to contribute to the national strategies. And last but not least, I just wanted to say that, you know, I am directly engaged with caregivers. I still do provide some one-to-one counseling when needed to support my team for caregivers. And we are stationed up at Fullerton, but we do home visits. We did not stop service during the pandemic. Just like the hospitals throughout Orange County, we served. We were out in the community. We were still making home visits if needed. And we were working on a virtual platform already. I encourage you to visit our website. I encourage you to call me if you have any questions. And again, I want to thank, our success is only based on the fact that we've had a lot of support from the community and we've had a lot of support through all of you and the work that you do. So thank you for this time, and I'll just pass it on. Thank you, Joni.
Right.
All right. I swear, Meredith gets the best speakers. And now, okay, we have our own Patty Mujahs. And let me tell you, Meredith wrote some information about Patty. She serves as Vice President for Outreach and Advocacy at Alzheimer's Orange County. She has served as co-chair of Orange County Advanced Care Planning Partners since 2010. She chairs the Cal Optima Health One Care Connect Advisory Committee and serves on the Provider Advisory Committee. She serves as chair of the Public Policy Committee of the Orange County Strategic Plan for Aging. She holds a BS in Human Services. She's a graduate, has graduate certificates in Fundamentals of Gerontology and in Palliative Care Chaplaincy, and is currently a candidate for Masters of Gerontology at Cal State Long Beach. Here's our own Patty Mouton. Okay.
Thank you for that kind introduction, Elizabeth. It is so fun to be here this morning. I'm just going to grab my little slide advancer. Thank you so much. And thank you to our tech guys, because as many of these programs as I do in the community, the tech is always so critical. So thank you. I am really, really pleased to be here with my tribe of people who are so interested in the well-being of older adults. And Orange County really is among the very best places throughout the United States to age. We have services, we have weather, we have a Chamber of Commerce day outside today, but we have a real foundational support of older adults. And when we see a need, we rise to the occasion. Like Jack, during the pandemic, Alzheimer's Orange County was busier than ever. My little team of people, about four people, we delivered pro bono well over 200,000 masks throughout Orange County during this pandemic. How we got them still remains a little bit of magic to me, because some of them just appeared on my doorstep. I got calls from people saying, you know, I've got a couple cases of masks in our warehouse that we're not using. Turns out it was 10,095 masks that were distributed then pro bono. So those of us who are really engaged in the trenches of well-being for older adults, we do care. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Alzheimer's Orange County, but I'm going to start with a little quote, because caregiving is not just a physical day-to-day experience. It is a completely holistic, spiritual, emotional, financial, completely overwhelming experience for many people unless they get some support. So I love this quote, and I use it a lot in support groups. When we walk to the edge of all the light we have known, and take a step into the darkness, we must believe one of two things will happen. There will be something solid for us to stand upon, or we will be taught to fly. So part of our job is to give that solid foundation to caregivers, and some we have to teach to fly. We do a lot of things, and the impact of Alzheimer's cannot be understated. It's the most expensive disease in this country today. And if you don't believe me, I will come back and give you a 3-hour report of all the hidden costs and direct costs of Alzheimer's disease. Did you know that if you take two people with the same problem, we'll call it a broken hip, they need surgery to repair it, they need to recover in the hospital sometimes for a couple of days, one person without a dementia, one person with a dementia, it will cost us three times as much to care for the person with dementia for exactly the same malady. So it's an expensive disease on every single front. It affects more than 6 million people in the United States today, and it's growing. And part of the reason it's growing is because we're aging. It's not that we have more Alzheimer's per capita, it's that we have more of us who are aging longer. We have gained an entire generation of lifespan just in 100 years. If you were 40 years old in 1900, you better have your funeral plans, because you weren't going to live much longer. Now, we know when we look at the obituaries and we see that somebody died at 81, we say, oh my gosh, they were so young. It's a whole different world now. More than 64,000 people in Orange County are currently impacted. It is the third leading cause of death in Orange County today. If you take COVID out of the mix, Alzheimer's and related dementias kills a lot of our neighbors. The amount of money that is spent on unpaid care, over 18 billion hours a year of care is provided by family or unpaid caregivers. And family caregivers overwhelmingly report their stress levels as extremely high. 60% of them say that their stress levels are terribly high. Something to consider. If you know someone caring for a loved one with a dementia, don't say, call me if you need anything, because they'll never call, because that's another job. You say, can I send dinner over tomorrow? Can I come over? You know what? Can I mow your lawn? I'm good with a vacuum. Would you like me to just run that through? Can I help you? And be specific. Offer concrete ways to help. Because you know what? Even if they say, oh, we're fine, they're not fine. Make sure they're connected to all the information possible. That's why we exist. For 40 years, Alzheimer's Orange County has been helping family caregivers with support, education, and a comprehensive array of services for free. We literally started on a card table in someone's garage with women who were caring for their husbands and knew they needed help and support. So from that grassroots effort comes all the things we do in our county today. We know that caregivers must have support. These are facts. We know that access to enhanced caregiver support is one of the most important things we can do to mitigate that stress and to keep people healthy. A caregiver of someone with dementia has a 60% higher mortality rate than their cohorts in society. The well spouse dies first very often, because they don't do things like get their mammograms or colonoscopies. They have a cough that goes on for 6 months and they don't get to the doctor. Turns out it's lung cancer. People who are caregiving need our village of support so that they will continue to do the things that will preserve their well-being. We can help. And this is a very, very busy slide. I can't take credit for it because I have great interns who do these things for me. But I purposely left it really busy because I want you to consider all the things that are available to people who are facing this challenge of Alzheimer's and related dementias. We take care of all kinds of dementias. There's more than 120 distinct diseases and conditions that cause dementia. We help people get to the right position in order to get a good diagnosis. And one of the things I'm most proud of that's coming up for 2023 is a program from the State Department of Health Services and a collaboration with all of the UC medical centers throughout the state called Dementia Care Aware. It's an initiative to educate primary care physicians who see Medi-Cal patients in the best practices for screening for dementia, to encourage and incentivize them to do so, and then to have a protocol of what to do once a dementia diagnosis is made. Many times physicians are reluctant to even make the diagnosis because they feel like they don't have enough to do for somebody. Well, we're here to tell you that many of the interventions that we provide can actually make a huge difference in how the course of the disease goes for the person and the caregiver. And there are studies to back that up. We do telephone support with licensed clinical social workers and social work interns. We have family care consultations. You can come in and have your family meeting that is orchestrated and mediated by a licensed clinical social worker. And I don't know about you, but once in a while, don't you run into some family dynamics? Maybe not everybody agrees. A social worker once told me that if you have 8 adult children of an elderly mom and dad, on any given day, you're going to have 10 different opinions. So we need that mediation. We provide lots of evidence-based and evidence-informed education on the clinical aspects of dementia, but also to the community so that they know what to look for. They know what to ask their doctors about. They know what they can do to keep their brains as healthy as possible. We offer about 40 support groups throughout Orange County, every day of the week, different times of the day, faith-based, secular, for men, for women, for adult children, you name it, and in many different languages. We also operate 2 adult day healthcare centers, one in Garden Grove, Acacia, one in Laguna Woods. And both of these sites are also designated PACE centers through our collaboration with CalOptima. We give all kinds of education, especially about safety for people with dementia. Wandering and elopement issues are critical. We just had a gentleman in Irvine, and they're still looking for him. 89 years old with a dementia, and he wandered away from his care situation. So we help people understand those dangers, what interventions they can put in place, and then we have a whole program of education that has informed law enforcement about what to do when somebody is either lost because of a dementia elopement, or if they encounter someone that maybe they think is using substances or is, you know, some kind of a sociopath. Maybe they need to recognize this could be a dementia and treat them appropriately. I'm very proud of our public policy and advocacy efforts, and I could talk all day about the ways we have helped Orange County. We started the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative, and we are very proud of the work it has done, spun off into the Orange County Strategic Plan for Aging, which we hope will then inform the process as Orange County constructs and implements the master plan. We have every month an interfaith religious service specially adapted for people with dementia in a different house of worship throughout Orange County. In July, we had it at St. Timothy here in Laguna Niguel. Lovely service, and we get about 100 people from all the different memory care communities, people in their homes who are caring for someone, bring their loved one. Spiritual support and expression remains critically important to people regardless of their cognitive faculties. So we offer that as a way to have the same kind of experience they might have had when they were younger, but we don't worry about behaviors. We don't worry about somebody not being able to sit still or calling out. I've actually heard someone say to the pastor at the pulpit, "Are you the Lord God?" they sometimes will have joyful, exuberant utterings that would be considered inappropriate in another setting. But when we're together, it's just great. And then we have bereavement support. Right now, I'm actually facilitating a bereavement support group here in Laguna Niguel at St. Timothy, but we do that routinely throughout the county, not just for deaths from dementia, but anyone who has lost a loved one and needs to have some bereavement support. And a program that's very close to my heart, about 20% of my time is contracted with Hope's Palliative Care Department, providing advanced care planning, providing support for people who are caring for a loved one at end-stage dementia so they know the differences in care and they can get that support and education so it's not such a daunting and difficult task. When someone calls our helpline for telephone support, they don't just get, "Hi, how are you?" They get this comprehensive activity that really will help them be connected to community resources, to understand what kinds of classes would be best for them to take and in what order, and then how to deal with sometimes, maybe it's a mini crisis situation, maybe it's a little more catastrophic and they just don't know what to do or say for their loved one. And our helpline support social workers can help them get through those kinds of situations. We help people understand their Medicare and their Medi-Cal benefits, and we plug them in to some of the experts, VA benefits, Many people don't know they might be eligible for aid and attendance benefits or other kinds of help. We help people understand how to make their home safe. I just got a request from Laguna Niguel Presbyterian because they had had some falls on their campus. And so we're going to get someone over there to kind of take a look and help them make it as safe as possible for their older adult congregation. And we help people if they need a caregiver action plan. If you have a plan for something, it's a roadmap to success. When I was a youngster cutting my teeth professionally, it was plan your work and work your plan. And if you don't work your plan, you plan to fail. So if you have a plan for how to care for someone throughout the trajectory of their disease, you're much more likely to carry over things in an ordered fashion. Sometimes we have to change the plan. Sometimes we have to create a new plan. But at least you have a plan that gives people a little more security and you know a little bit better what to do. And I said the tech was so great. That's all right. I will wrap up just by saying Alzheimer's and dementia is not the person's fault. It's a pathological disease process, depending upon which disease or condition is causing the dementia. It's not the person's fault. And it's very taxing on the family caregiver, even the ones who say, oh, I'm fine. Do what you can to people. If you are caring for a loved one with a dementia, please, please reach out to us. We can indeed help you. And if you want more information, you can go onto our website, which is alzoc.org, or call me. You all know how to reach me. So thank you for the opportunity to share what we're doing to kind of put our arms around the people who are doing the caregiving and ensure that their well-being remains of paramount importance as well as for the people who need their care. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Patty. As always, that was fantastic. Patty has so much information, and whenever we hear her talk, we learn more and more. So please reach out to her. And as you can see, Alzheimer's OC is a great resource here in Orange County. But and they continue to evolve. And as our needs change, they also continue to meet those needs. So thank you to you and your organization. But please reach out to Patty and learn more. And I know she does have some material over there. And that was a lot of good information. So now we are on to item number 8, which is public comments. Okay, a question, Rachel?
Patty, the strategic plan for aging was issued in 2019. Here we are 3 years later. And looking at the website, there doesn't appear to be any update or any new specific initiatives that have been adopted yet out of that.
Well, we've done quite a bit. There were 10 pillars of service.
Let me get you the microphone, Patty.
Thank you for the question. There were 10 areas of service identified, and we did work on them throughout the pandemic. So while the website might not reflect all the work that we have done, we worked very closely with the county in many programs for food insecurity. I had teams of people that were actually delivering meals for our participants in the Adult Day Center. They got their meals delivered at porch stops. So all of that work continued, and it will go to then inform the county's version of the California Master Plan for Aging. So, and we just published a very comprehensive report on the conditions of aging in Orange County, and I can have that sent out through Desiree, I have that website sent out. It has geo maps of where, for example, where food banks are,
where affordable senior housing is. It has every kind of resource you could ever want, and you can then find it in your neighborhood through the geomaps that we included. So that was a huge body of work over the last 2 years, and then we'll publish an update with other pillars of service highlighted in 2023. So we continue, and it's our fervent hope that all of this work will then inform the process as we construct the master plan for aging for Orange County. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. Okay, so now we're on to public comments. At this time, members of the public may address this council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak, Desiree? Okay, so no requests to speak have been submitted. And I'm not seeing any hands raised for the public attending here. Anything on Zoom? Okay, so public comments is now closed. And we are on to action item AB361. So this is to review and make findings for the virtual meetings. Before we get into reading what AB361 is, you are all very familiar with it. Just to let you know that this, what we're having here is a hybrid meeting. We're meeting, some of us or most of us are in person. We also do have members of the committee meeting via Zoom. Hybrid meetings will not be available for future meetings. So depending on how this vote goes, it's either we will meet virtually or we will all meet in person. So just want to be sure that that is very clear before we take the vote. So we are also dark in December. So our next meeting will be the second Friday in January. And if we do vote to meet virtually, then we will need to have our special meeting to get us to that next 30 days. So does everyone understand that? Carol.
I have a vote to in-person meeting. Are we going to meet together at different places in Orange County, or are we going to go to office?
The Office on Aging will not have any meeting space until March because they are doing some reconstruction or remodeling there. When we do go back to in-person meetings for the full SCAP, they will be rotated around the county. That is a challenge to find an accommodation to host this large of a group with all of the requirements that we have to accommodate the public and the ADA requirements as well. So keep in mind, think before we vote, I want you to think about what is January? It's right after the holiday. Would you be prepared to meet in person? Or do you think it's best that we continue at least for a couple of months virtually? Because whatever the group decides is the way that we'll have to go. I'll give you my personal side. I know January is usually like flu season.
Yeah.
So we may want to keep our germs to ourselves in our own homes. But that's just, you know, keep in mind, because what we don't want to happen is we vote to go in person and then half of you don't come to the meeting. We still need to do the work of SCAC. So how is that going to best be done? Okay.
Chair, can I ask why we can't do the hybrid meetings? Because I know some of the people that are on there, it's more convenient for them.
We can't do the hybrid meetings because not every facility has the ability to do this. The ones that are providing the technology, aside from Desiree with her laptop, are really city staff. So it's taken a lot of City of Laguna Niguel resources to put this together. We don't have, wherever we meet does not necessarily have that capability. So, and we're just talking about a short time, maybe January, February, because that's as far as the governor's order extends. So right now we're just doing 1 month at a time, but if we do vote to go virtually in January, then we will need to have a special meeting in December again to get us past that 30 days. Any questions? Denise?
Since the gas prices continue to rise, will we be able to write off, expend the
staff going to and from?
That is covered in your stipend. So if you are present for the full meeting, then your stipend for that meeting is $30. So there's no additional expensing of the meeting.
I was thinking of the guests.
Yeah. Okay. That's something, you know, take all that into consideration. And again, what we're doing now is just to get us to our January meeting. Any additional questions? So my question for county staff is, because this is a hybrid, do we still need to do a roll call vote on this?
We do.
Okay. So, and you'll be doing that, Desiree, right? Okay. Any questions? Okay. So is there a motion to recommend that we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
So moved.
Elaine, I had a question. Elaine?
Come on.
Okay. Moved by Elizabeth Music, seconded by Carol Moore, question by Jean Hernandez.
Yeah, just a reminder to the group that how we vote, we're locked into that. So if we say, no, we don't want Zoom, we can't change our mind later. That's the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you,
that
Jean.
Bears repeating again, Jean. Jean, that bears repeating, please, one more time.
Yeah, just a reminder, as we take this vote, if you vote no on Zoom and only in person, you cannot change your mind later. We can't go back in December and say, well, we'd like to do January on Zoom. Can't do it. We're locked in. It's a one-time deal.
No. So if this motion passes, it's to continue virtually. Our next meeting will be a virtual special meeting to get us to that 30-day bridge for our January meeting. If this motion does not pass, we are done with virtual meetings. We do not get to vote again in December.
Correct.
Okay, any questions? Jean, did I just hear you say something?
No, I just said correct.
Oh, good, thank you. Okay, any questions? Are we all clear? So the motion has been made by Elizabeth. It has been seconded by Carol. Desiree, can you please take the roll call vote?
Charlene Aschenbach? Amanda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busek?
Yes.
Amelia Castro? Meredith Delaney? Carol Downey?
Yes.
Elaine Dunaway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez?
Yes.
Carolyn Inman? Jim Levy?
Yes.
Crystal Miles?
Yes.
Carol Moore?
Aye.
Paolo Morales?
Yes.
Patty Mouton?
Aye.
Joni Nichols?
Yes to future Zoom.
Rachel Owen?
Yes.
Mary Perdue? Mary? John Pointer?
Yes.
Tony Verdella?
Aye.
Amina Sin Matthews?
Aye.
Barbara Sloat?
Aye.
Sandy Stain?
Yes.
David Sullivan? Dave Sullivan? Dave Tesla?
Aye.
Yes, but Dave Sullivan.
Thank you, Dave. Jeffrey Rodriguez? Evelyn Velez?
Yes.
Laval Brewer? And Jerry King?
Yes.
And that is majority here.
Okay, thank you. So the motion passes. So there will be a special virtual meeting in December
to get us to the January meeting date. In December, we will go through the same process virtually. So thank you very much for going through that and listening to the explanations. I realize we are looking forward to getting back together in person, and that will happen soon. So we're on to item number 10 on the agenda, chair items. So under new business, as we're wrapping up our year, we're going to get to the election of the new officers later on in the agenda. I don't have any new business, but I would like to ask Renee Ramirez to provide. Oh, where is Jeanette? There you are, Jeanette. Yay. Okay. Jeanette is going to provide us with an Office on Aging update.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. I just have a few updates. Some are funding related and some are staffing related. So let's start with great news today. We do have three additional administrative managers for the Office on Aging. We have Farah Lawless, Erin Yuliberry, and Lauren Bilardis, who are joining our team today, effective today. So we do also have ongoing recruitments for our VSO and Office on Aging directors and staff specialists. Now on to a couple of funding news for everyone. We do have our current RFP, request for proposals, out right now for the intergenerational activities and senior meals program. And this is funded under the older Adults Recovery and Resilience under the Home and Community-Based Services for CMS. And our RFP for that will be closing on November 29th, 2022. Another onto more good news, we did get our Access to Technology grant awarded for $3.4 million. And that is pending a memorandum of understanding between the SSA and Office on and OCCR, I apologize. We were also awarded about $2.1 million under the Home and Community-Based Services Nutrition Infrastructure Program. This will allow our elderly nutrition program providers and other local nutrition program providers to help expand their current infrastructure and assist in, you know, to better assist our senior citizens. So funding for this will go for vans, refrigerated vans, refrigerated trucks to help deliver home-delivered meals to homebound seniors. It will go towards refrigeration, any other infrastructure improvements for our nutrition providers. We also were awarded the CalFresh expansion and CalFresh Healthy Living, which is formerly called SNAP-Ed, grant for 3 years for a little over $1 million. These two programs are catered for expanding CalFresh enrollment and outreach for seniors who are 60 plus. And the CalFresh Healthy Living, which was formerly called SNAP-Ed, is to expand education, community education related to physical activity and proper nutrition. And of course, expanding your CalFresh dollars for 60 plus. And that's pretty much all I have. There might be other funding streams that are coming down, but they have yet to be announced by the California Department of Aging. So that's all I have for the Office on Aging today. Does anyone have any questions so far?
Hey, well, we're glad to hear about all those funding streams coming our way.
So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Are there any questions for Jeanette before we move on? Okay. Well, thank you, Jeanette. Thank you for hopping on the Zoom with us. We appreciate that. We know you're busy back at the office.
My pleasure. So thank you, everyone.
Under old business, the only thing I'd like to mention is that, you know, all of you have to do the ethics training. Some people have not completed it yet or have provided their certificate. So Desiree will be sending out an email if you haven't done it. With the link to the training, also there are maybe one or two more in-person classes available this year, and also the email of where to send your certificate. But please be sure that's done before the end of the year. Some of you, I know you've already done it, but just never got your certificate to the right place. Because if it's not completed by the end of the year, the county, your seat is automatically vacated, because it's very important that everyone does the ethics training. And as far as chair comments, I would just like to say, after having served as chair of this amazing committee for 4 years, at the end of this meeting, I will be stepping down as the chair. I'll still be on the committee, because I'm an appointee by the city selection committee. But it has been an honor and a privilege to work with all of you as we serve our Orange County seniors. I know we've gone through some changes over these last few years, and I hope that you feel your work is fulfilling, that we are now presenting priorities for Orange County seniors to the Board of Supervisors and making those requests and needs known and having them fulfilled for our seniors. So, but thank you all for working together, and thank you all for the privilege that I've had of working with you. So thank you. Now we are on to standing committee reports. Vice Chair Gene Hernandez, take it away.
Thank you, Chair. I don't see any of my they're all in present. Yeah, they're there. They're not on the Zoom. So
okay.
I know, let's start with Standy. You want to start?
Well, no, I said Evelyn, because I'm on this side of the table. Okay.
Evelyn is fine. We'll start with Evelyn. Go ahead, Evelyn.
Thank you, Jean, for accepting that. And before we go any further, I do want to say what a privilege it has been working with Elaine, and what a spectacular job you have been, and a leader and mentor. And I hope that we have a more, a fuller opportunity to express our admiration for you at some point. Thank you. Just a brief summary then on our committee. This committee is the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee, and we have four basic goals. We're related to goal number 3 of the MPA. We're looking at the digital divide, protecting seniors from abuse, trying to provide more volunteer quality and work experiences to enrich lives. And through all of those, we are tracking legislation through our great friend, John Poynter. Some of the speakers that we've had this year, we've had the Adult Protective Services, and every speaker that we have, one of the things that we ask them is, how can we help you? Not just, please tell us what you do, but tell us what you need to make your services more effective in Orange County. Alzheimer's OC, Patty came and made it's always a fabulous presentation. The OC Ombudsman Program. And we also had at a separate time the district attorney. And there was some discussion between the two of them about how they need to have some better collaborations so that they can be more effective in prosecuting elder abuse. We've had a couple presentations on fraud. The OC Library came and told us tons of things about enrichment activities. And we also most recently had various community center directors talk to us, kind of like a little panel, about how their lives how the lives of their constituents have changed post-pandemic, and what they need, what kind of support they need from the county. So that's what we've been doing this year. I want to really thank all of the members of the subcommittee for all of the great work they've been doing, and enthusiasm and continued support. So thank you. Okay, thank you, Evelyn. Your committee has been very busy and lots of great information. And Jean, now I'm gonna hand the microphone to Barbara Sloat.
Thank you. Go ahead, Barbara, take it away.
Well, Evelyn, the act to follow. I just wanted to report that this is November, yes, our November meeting is going to be a working meeting.
for the February workshop, and hoping to have a lot of discussion, have everybody do a little research. We worked very hard last year for what we thought would be a great project, and it didn't work out quite that way. So hopefully next year we'll be more successful. And Rachel has been so helpful in providing, first one to provide some information for it. So anyway, Elaine, again, my thanks too for your support over the last 2 years that I've been involved. And happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara.
Can we hand it off to Sandy?
Yeah, I'm walking around the table. It's a big U, so give me a little time to get there, Keith.
Well, you have, let me talk while you're walking. You have the advantage because we can't see you on the Zoom world, which is maybe one of the shortcomings we have when you Zoom like this or hybrid. We can't see
speakers. Okay, well, I'm walking and talking. But Barbara mentioned something very important. Remember the February workshop. So all the standing committees, all of your work should be gearing up for what are you going to present as the needs for Orange County seniors at the February workshop. And then we take that, we put it all together, and that's what we take to the Board of Supervisors. And so now from our Housing and Transportation Standing Committee, Sandy Stang.
Thank you very much. We haven't had our meeting yet for this month. It'll be next week, and we'll be getting an update on the streetcar project. But I did want to report, Jean brought up a good question. With the OCTA strike, would the people that ride the access bus be affected? And we all thought that they would. And I did attend an OCTA meeting last week, and they will not be affected. They didn't explain to us how or why. And the important thing is they still will have access availability. And I have seen the buses on the street. So I thought you might want to know that, Jean.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Sandy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sandy. Jean, do you have anything else under Standing Committee reports?
No, I just think that the committees are doing an excellent job, excellent leadership, and really robust discussion and involvement. And I think we'll see the fruits of that in January or February, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you, Jean. Okay, now we're moving on to item number 12, Senior Center Liaisons. Carolyn is not here, so we'll go to 13. Presentation schedule. Meredith is not here yet. Meredith is coming from another meeting, so hopefully she'll join us later. Keep in mind, our January meeting is our SCAC orientation, and it takes care of a lot of the business that we need to do as we begin our SCAC year. And then the February meeting is the annual workshop. So now we are on to item 14, which is the election of the 2023 SCAC officers. So with the new bylaws from the Board of Supervisors, the election process has changed. And I said this every meeting for the last several meetings. So we no longer have a nominating committee that presents a slate of officers. And what has also changed is the term of office. Previously was 2 years. It's now 1 year. So I know there have been some members who have indicated an interest, who've talked to members of the executive board of their interest, or they're wanting to step down off of the executive board. So we will conduct the elections. We will do it one office at a time, except for the members at large. We can do those together. So we have the chair, vice chair, secretary, and then three members at large. And will we still need to be a voice vote? Okay, so this will take a little time, so let's do it quick as we can. But I will open up nominations for chair for the 2023 chair of SCAC. Patty.
Patty has nominated Jean Hernandez for chair. Is there a second? Seconded by Tony Rendella. Are there any additional nominations for chair of SCAC? Seeing none, nominations for chair is now closed. And we will take a vote on that. I'm pretty sure, Jean, do you accept your nomination? I don't want to ask him that question because when I asked him to be vice chair 2 years ago, I was like, you need to step up into chair.
Yeah, it sounded pretty good 2 years ago. but yes, I do accept. I do accept. Thank you.
Yes. Charlene Ashengar. Linda Barcelona.
Yes.
Denise Barnes.
Yes. Yay.
Elizabeth Busey.
Yes.
Amelia Castro. Meredith Chalemi. Carol Downey.
Yes.
Elaine Dunaway.
Yes.
Jean Hernandez.
Yes.
Jim Levy. Crystal Miles.
Hi.
Carol Moore. Paolo Morales.
Yes.
Patty Mouton.
Yes.
Joni Nichols.
Yes. Yes.
Rachel Owens.
Yes.
Mary Perdue.
Yes.
John Pointer.
Yes.
Tony Rodella.
Hi.
Amina Ben Matthews.
Yes.
Barbara Sloat.
Yes.
Sandy Stain.
Yes.
Dave Sullivan.
You're muted, Dave.
Dave, you're muted.
Yes.
Thank you. Dave Tesla?
Yes.
Jeffrey Rodriguez? Evelyn Gillette?
Yes.
Laval Brewer? And Jerry Chang?
Yes.
That is majority, sir.
Actually, I think it's more than majority. That's unanimous. So congratulations, Jean Hernandez. You're going to be the 2023 staff chair. Congrats, Jean.
Thank you. And thank you, colleagues, for that vote of confidence, although I suspect it's because you said no, you might be targeted. So be the next. But thank you. I have big shoes to fill, and I'll comment a little bit later on that. But thank you for your confidence, and we will continue to grow and progress.
Okay, thank you. So now I'll open nominations for the 2023 Vice Chair of SCAC.
Elaine, can I make ask a question, actually? If the person is not here, can we still nominate them? Kind of like the old adage that I left the room and I got elected kind of thing.
That's usually what happens. But yes, you can still nominate the person because there's still a member in good standing of SCAC.
Okay, I'd like to nominate then Meredith Chalemi for vice chair. I have talked with her and she's willing to accept.
Second.
Now, Meredith Chalemi has been nominated for vice chair by Jean Hernandez, seconded by Elizabeth Busick. Are there any other nominations for the SCAC vice chair? Seeing none, nominations are now closed for vice chair, and we will vote. Desiree.
Charlene Ashendorf. Linda Barcelona.
Yes.
Denise Barnes.
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick.
Yes.
Amelia Castro. Meredith Chalemi, Carol Downey.
Yes.
Elaine Dunaway.
Aye.
Jean Hernandez.
Absolutely, yes.
Carolyn Inman. Jim Levy. Crystal Miles.
Aye.
Carol Moore. Paolo Morales. Paolo Morales.
Yes.
Thank you. Patty Mouton.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes, I'm texting her to congratulate her.
Rachel Owen.
Yes.
Mary Perdue.
Yes.
John Pointer.
Yes.
Tony Rodella.
Aye.
Amina Sen Matthews. Yes. Barbara Sloat.
Yes.
Sandy Singh?
Yes.
Jake Sullivan?
Yes.
Jake Tesla?
Yes.
Jeffrey Rodriguez? Evelyn Melez?
Yes.
Laval Brewer? And Jerry King?
Yes.
That is majority chair.
Okay, so Meredith Chalemi has been elected unanimously as the 2023 SCAC Vice Chair. So we will congratulate Meredith when we see her. Hopefully she'll be able to join us a little later. Now we are moving on to the Office of Secretary. And okay, it sounds like someone is anxious to make a nomination. Does that tell me you want to vacate that seat pretty quickly?
How could you guess? I would like to nominate Carolyn Inman. I understand she would really like to do this.
Third.
Okay, so Elizabeth Busick has nominated Carolyn Inman for the 2023 SCAC Secretary, and it was seconded by Rachel Owens. Are there any other nominations for Secretary? Seeing none, nominations for Secretary are now closed, and we will vote on Carolyn Inman for Secretary.
Charlene Axendorf. Linda Barcelona.
Yes.
Denise Barnes.
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick.
Yes.
Amelia Castro. Meredith Chalemi. Carol Downey.
Yes.
Elaine Dunaway.
Aye.
Dean Hernandez.
Yes.
Carolyn Inman. Jim Levy. Crystal Miles.
Aye.
Carol Moore. Paolo Morales.
Yes.
Patty Mouton.
Yes.
Joni Nichols.
Yes.
Rachel Owens.
Yes.
Mary Perdue.
Yes.
John Poynter.
Yes.
Tony Rodella.
Aye.
Amina Sen Matthews.
Aye.
Barbara Sloat.
Yes.
Sandy Singh.
Yes.
Jake Sullivan.
Yes.
Jake Tesla.
Yes.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. Evelyn Lev.
Yes.
Laval Brewer. Jerry King.
Yes.
That is majority, sir.
Okay, thank you, Desiree. So Carolyn Inman has been elected as the 2023 SCAC Secretary. We will now move on to the at-large positions. There are three at-large positions on the SCAC Executive Board. And we can take these all at once. Dean, did you have a nomination?
I'll nominate three, actually. I would nominate Sandy, Evelyn, and Barbara.
Okay, so Jean has nominated Sandy Singh, Barbara Sloat, and Evelyn Velez. Is that what you said?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so is there a second for the nomination for Sandy Singh? Seconded by Tony Rodella. Is there a second for the nomination of Barbara Sloat?
Second.
Seconded by Elizabeth Busick. Is there a second for the nomination of Evelyn Velez? Seconded by Amina Sen Matthews. Are there any other nominations for the at-large positions of the Executive Board? Seeing none, nominations are now closed. And since there's only one nominee, or three nominees for three seats, we can vote on those together, Desiree. So.
Yes. Charlene Axendorf. Linda Barcelona.
Yes.
Denise Barnes.
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick.
Yes.
Amelia Castro, Meredith Chalemi, Carol Downey,
yes.
Elaine Dunaway,
aye.
Dean Hernandez,
yes.
Carolyn Inman, Jim Levy, Crystal Miles,
aye.
Carol Moore, Paolo Morales, Paolo Morales,
yes.
Thank you. Patty Mouton.
Yes.
Joni Nichols.
Yes.
Rachel Owens.
Yes.
Mary Perdue. John Pointer?
Mary and John, we can't hear you.
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Yes.
And yes.
Thank you. Mary. Thank you. Tony Rivella.
Aye.
Amina and Matthews.
Yes.
Barbara Sloat.
Yes.
Sandy Stank.
Yes.
Dave Sullivan.
Yes.
Dave Tesla.
Yes.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. Evelyn Bellet.
Yes.
Laval Brewer. Jerry King.
Yes.
Okay, congratulations to Evelyn, Barbara, and Sandy for being elected as the at-large executive board members. So congratulations. And now I will then move into the task chair position. So, but we don't need to go through a vote for that. Okay. I'd like to recognize we have three staff members who will remain on staff but are stepping off of the executive board, and like to thank them for their years of service. Elizabeth Yusick, who's been our secretary. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Thank you to Dave Tesla. Dave has been an at-large member, and he has filled in wherever we've had a need for an ad hoc committee. And that was actually most significant during the pandemic when we had a great need for the digital divide. So thank you, Dave. And then also John Pointer has asked to step off of the executive board because he is still very active with CSL, and he will be our liaison with that. And we do have other CSL members here too, but he's very into the legislation, and he will still remain as a member of SCAC. So thank you to those executive board members who are stepping off. Let's give them a hand, yes. Okay, we are down to announcements. Elizabeth.
I want to say, please turn in your hours. I feel like a broken record, but why is it that they're important? You might think, what a bunch of nuts. Okay, this is a waste of my time. No, it is not. And why is it not?
Why is it so important to turn in the hours?
It's important because we need to show the Board of Supervisors how much SCAC is contributing in the community. And that number is also important because many times it's used for grant applications to show these are how many hours our volunteers are contributing. So when we're asking for someone from another entity for money, they want to know that we have some skin and are putting time in the game. So that's very important.
I couldn't have said it better. Okay. So, and then there's the other thing. You know, you might think, why can't I just email it to you? Well, I like to have backup, and that's what this is right here. So if there's any problem, I have every piece of paper. So I have not made any exceptions. Everybody's right here. Okay. And then, last but not least, it really has been an honor to serve you as secretary. And I thoroughly believe that this thing needs to be where everybody gets involved. And I got two terms, okay? Then that should be it. And then off you go. I didn't like what was happening in the past where people were on there for a decade or more. I thought, oh, that's wrong. Okay. So I really think that it's important to step up. Okay. But thank you for letting me have the honor to serving you.
Well, thank you for all that you've done and keeping us on track. I made Elizabeth very happy this morning because when she came here, my hour sheet, several of them, I will admit, we're sitting right there waiting for her. And I know it's been a challenge because usually when we meet in person, people would fill out their hour sheets during the meeting. So if you haven't done that yet, there are some on the table. And so let's help her wrap up her year by turning those in. Any other announcements?
Yeah, Elizabeth, if I could just jump in real quick. I've got a hard deadline I'm going to have to take off. I have another meeting. I've got a chair. So I'm so sorry, but I just want to thank you for your service and all those stepping off. John, Elizabeth, phenomenal. And thank you, colleagues, for your vote of confidence. And I will be here next time the whole duration. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Jane. Also, if you noticed, Desiree passed out the stipend sheet. Oh, okay. Just sign your stipend sheet and give them to Desiree before we depart here. And John Pointer, what would you like to say?
Thank you, Elaine. A couple of quick items. I'm very proud to announce that three bills originally sponsored by CSL were signed into law by the governor prior to the September 30th deadline. AB 2511, skilled nursing facility backup electrical supply. This proposal originally originated in the Ledge Committee from an idea Elaine had, and we took that and ran with it. So just again to highlight, not everything originates from a CSL member. AB 2338, default hierarchy surrogate consent laws. And finally, AB 2145, oral health care and skilled nursing facilities, authored by Assembly Member Lori Davies out of the South Orange County community. One other quick item. CSL had its annual session 25, 26, 27 October, an immense success. I think any CSL member who was fortunate enough to attend will testify to what a great session it was. Out of that came our top 10, which I will be sharing with Desiree for distribution to each one of you. And the process begins again, where we start to promote to legislators our proposals to see if they will pick them up. Extremely important, and we're looking forward to it. Last, Elaine, Jean is gone to another meeting, but I'll point this out to Evelyn as well. I'd like to raise to the Ledge Committee an issue I think that is being exacerbated by the fentanyl epidemic, and that is grandparents becoming responsible for their grandchildren, but not able to afford adoption, and therefore having to take charge of the raising of the children without any additional financial support at all, and many of them on Social Security. So something I want to raise to the Ledge Committee in the future, and something I think SCAC should take a closer look at and bring to the attention of the Office on Aging. Thank you very much.
And thank you, John. And you're exactly right. That's a multi-generational issue, the fentanyl, not just our young people, but also the seniors and everyone in between. So thank you for the perspective on that. And that's something that we can definitely speak to our legislators about and get moving forward. Any other announcements? So we do have, there are brochures over there on the table from some of our guests and speakers. There's also the Answers magazine, which is produced, I think, more in South County, but it has a lot of good information in there. So please be sure to take one or take a couple. There's plenty. So if there's anyone you can give them to give them those resources, the Answers magazines are there for you, as well as other information. And before I adjourn this meeting, just making sure I'm scanning the room for any additional announcements. John, your hand is still up. Did you have something else to add? Or
thank you, Elaine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. So now I will adjourn this meeting at 11:22 a.m. Thank you all for being here.
Pleasure.
Congratulations to our new executive board. And everyone is staying, because soon that wall is going to open up. And